So I got me a girl and kissed her, and then, oh Lordy, I kissed her again. Remember that? Huh? Why? Because she had kisses sweeter than wine. Y'all remember that? Sweeter than wine. Oh, then, never mind.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill begins a study today of the Old Testament book, Song of Solomon. Now, whether you're dating, engaged, or already married, this is a study you need to hear. Let's join Pastor Bill as he introduces this book with the message, True Courtship.
Turn with me tonight into the Old Testament as we continue our study. The Song of Solomon, this little song, 8 chapters, 117 verses, one of the most misunderstood and overlooked books in all of the Bible, and normally not taught in public. Let's put it that way. Not even in the public assembly. Matter of fact, the Song of Solomon, the Jewish sages would teach this. Unless a man was over 30 years of age, he should not even read the Song of Solomon. And a woman under any circumstance should never read it. So tonight I hope that sparked your interest, because as we look at the Song of Solomon, right after Ecclesiastes there in the Old Testament, is a love story between King Solomon and a young girl who works in a vineyard, and she's just a simple country girl, a nameless girl. We don't know who she really is, except she's described as a Shulamite. And the Song of Solomon before us, which is so difficult because it's been called the hardest book in the Bible. I find as I went through it myself many, many times before I even taught it or even laid a pen down to even take one note upon this wonderful song, is I notice that in all 8 chapters, we don't find God mentioned. And I look at that and I say, well, Lord, what's going on here? Although throughout the whole text, of course, His divine presence is everywhere to be found. And at the same time, I find no mention of worship. I find no mention of prayer. And I find the Song of Solomon not quoted in any other books of the Bible. How are we going to teach this book? Well, if we teach it from the Christian perspective, how it has been done through many centuries, there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say. Yes, it's wonderful to teach it the old way, meaning that the church looks at it as a love song from Christ to the church. There's not a problem with that. I don't have a problem teaching that way either, except the church wasn't in existence until Acts chapter 2. Or we could say, well, this was a love song from God to the nation of Israel. Nothing wrong with that. We could certainly teach it that way. But I'm not going to. I want to teach it just like I would any other book of the Bible, and I'm just going to teach it from a literal view. And I look at this book, and it's no doubt to me, it's a wonderful love song about human sexuality, romance, courtship, marriage, and troubles within married life. And that's the way we're going to be teaching it. So as we look here, I want you to remember that as we enter into this book, the language is so explicit, like I just said, that men were forbidden to read until they were over 30. Women were just completely forbidden. But the word love is used 28 times in 8 chapters, and the word beloved is used 33 times. And the Song of Solomon opens with the word love. But I want you to catch this right now. And I want to say something to you. I'm not one to hold back Scripture. In other words, I'm going to just tell you the way it says in the Bible. Is that a deal? That's the way it's always been with me. And I'm not ashamed of one word in the Word of God. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the Word. Thank God it's beautiful. Now, we live in a world that is sex-saturated. And you would think that, you know, people say, well, God doesn't have anything to say about sexual intimacy in marriage and so forth. Well, you know what? God does. God has a lot to say about it. So, as I hope that you've already read through the Song of Solomon many times, because the language is quite explicit. And when it opens up the first word there, the word love is not speaking of like I'm in love with you. It's actually speaking of sexual passion or sexual intimacy. So with all of that being said, that's as our introduction. I want to talk to you tonight about true courtship, because this is the way it starts out beginning in verse 1. It says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. What in the world does that mean, the Song of Songs? It means the best of Solomon. You know, you have today, you have the best of Elvis. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs and hymns. And he says here, this is my very best. This is my greatest hit right here. And it's a romantic song. It's about, again, courtship. It's about love. It's about falling in love. And in your Bibles, it should say right after the Song of Solomon, it should have the banquet. Does everybody have that? No one has that? A few of you? Okay, well, then I'll make sure I tell you what's going on. It says in my Bible, it says the Shulamite. In other words, that's the cast. We have King Solomon. We have the Shulamite, which is the lady who is in love with Solomon and who is going to become Mrs. Solomon, if we could look at it like that. And we have the daughters of Jerusalem, which no doubt must be the ladies of the court of the palace, are basically, they're like the chorus of this song. So here the Shulamite, that nameless woman, she is talking. And here's what she says in verse 2. Let him, meaning Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love, and that's talking about sexual love there, folks, your love is better than wine. Well, should we continue or move to the book of Isaiah? Well, we're here. We might as well see what it's talking about. Don't you just like the Bible? Listen, I like that. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. You remember when you first fell in love? Oh, no, you can't remember back that far. Well, it's all right. You know, the fact is that you thought about that person all the time. Now, that's what she's doing. She is thinking about Solomon, and she's thinking about laying one on him, okay? Now, she hasn't done that, but that's what she's thinking about. And she says, your love is better than wine. What does that mean? It means that this Shulamite, this girl, the future Mrs. Solomon, is saying, your love intoxicates me. It makes my eyes glaze over. I just, like I walk on air, and when I think about you, it's sweet, it's intoxicating, it is exciting. Now listen, again, she's speaking about her love for Solomon. She is not speaking to Solomon. This is a love song, and she's singing it. And what is she excited about? She's excited about her upcoming wedding night. And the song begins here, like I said, with courtship, not marriage. Isn't it amazing? Kissing. I'm not even going to go there. But you know, it's right there in the Bible. And let me just say something to you, because you know what? There are so many people in the church that are unhappy in their marriages. Matter of fact, the church is divorcing just as rapidly as the world. And you know, people get me, they're so excited. They come and they sit on my couch and they say, oh, Bill, we're in love. And man, I mean, you have to pry them apart with a crowbar in my office on that couch just so I can talk to them for a few moments about marriage. They're in love. But then maybe 6 months later, they come and they say, you know what, we have problems. I got an email the other day. It was such a blessing. It said, Bill, because, you know, went through when they counseled with me, said, we've been married for 6 months. Just want to let you know we're still in love and we do not need any counseling. I wrote back. I said, praise God. I don't ever get emails like that. It's usually, well, Bill, you married us. Why? Did God give you any discernment? Now, we look at this, and I love this because I ask myself a question, and you should ask yourself a question. Let me just say, men and women, listen, when is the last time you just thought about kissing your husband, kissing your wife? Do you do that anymore? Are you to the point now where you go to bed, good night, good night. Turn the light off, it's it, just go to sleep. You're reading, I'm out, good night. You don't kiss her goodbye, or you don't kiss her when you come home. In other words, I guess the kissing's gone. You remember years ago, I don't want to get strange here, but you remember it says the kisses were sweeter than wine, and I can't help it, but my mind, you know, is so warped anyway. And most of you won't remember this, but do you remember that song? I remember I had a yellow Philco radio, there at my dad's house in the 50s, and I kept the house clean because they were never home, and we didn't have a TV. And so that radio was what I listened to. I'd stay in the kitchen all the time, and that was, of course, we only had oldie, what we call today oldie goldies. But I remember in 1957, Jimmy Rogers. Anybody remember Jimmy Rogers? And remember, he came out with that song. It says, "Kisses Sweeter Than Wine." So let me give you the verses here. Watch, you ready for this? It says, "When I was a young man, I'd never been kissed. I got to thinking it over how much I had missed. So I got me a girl and kissed her, and then, oh Lordy, I kissed her again." Remember that? Why? Because she had kisses sweeter than wine. Y'all remember that? Sweeter than wine. Never mind. Well, you know, that's where Jimmy got this from. He got it right out of the Word of God. My question to you is this. I don't care if you've been married 30 years, 40 years, or 10 days. If you're not desiring her or desiring him, why not? I'll tell you one reason is because a spirit of ingratitude comes into your life. And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen. Listen, he wants to make you so busy in making a living and other things and raising the children that you forget about one another. Don't do that. I'll tell you, the greatest thing you can do is lay one on her tonight. You know? All right. Now, I've got to move along because I want to be led by the Spirit. It says in verse 3, look at her now. She says, "Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you." In other words, every unmarried woman who sees you, she wants to marry you. Now listen, it says, "Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment." Now this doesn't mean that Solomon was an aqua velva man, okay? That's not what he's talking about. In other words, he smelled good, although back then they didn't take a bath like we do every day, and so they did perfume themselves with ointments. So what's the Bible teaching us here about courtship? It means this, that she's talking about the one that she loves. She's talking about his character. She's saying his character is a lovely aroma. Now listen to me. Are you single? If you are single and if you are wanting a mate and looking for a mate, but may I say something to you? Marry someone with character. Don't marry a character. Do you understand what I mean? It shocks me. Why would a woman want to marry a man that can't even balance a checkbook? I'm sorry. That couldn't have been the Spirit of God. Come on. Do you understand? Find somebody who is walking with integrity, who has a good name. And Solomon, at this point in his reign, this must be before he went out and was where all these women came into his life. There was some part of his life in the beginning, evidently, and he had that good name, and everyone knew it. Listen, if you're single, you run from a person who doesn't love Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Run from them. Run with them with all of your heart. I don't care how beautiful they are. Oh, but Bill, they're the, my gosh, have you seen him? He's the captain of the football team or whatever, and he's just a hunk. Well, he's just a hunk. That's all he is. What kind of character does he have? What kind of character does she have? See, this is all about courtship, and she's saying, you know what? Look at his character. Look at the type of person that he is. Marry someone that's going to treat you good, that's going to treat you right. Marry someone who's going to respect you and love you all your days. Matter of fact, Tommy Nelson came out with a series called The Song of Solomon. It is a prerequisite for everyone who I take through marriage counseling here at Calvary. For years it's been here. And Tommy Nelson said this. He said, "Until a man follows God, he can't lead a woman." That's interesting. Let me just add to that. Until a man or a woman follows God, they will never truly ever love one another. Man, if you're not following God, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not making Jesus Christ first in your life, your marriage will never be what it's intended to be. Oh, you may get married and have a bunch of kids and have a good home and a job and all those things. But if you're not putting Jesus Christ as the lordship of your marriage, as the lordship of your heart, seeking to please him, because if you're seeking to please him, you'll please your mate, then you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And she says in verse 4, look at this, she says, "Draw me away. Take me away, Solomon. I want to go away." And where does she want to go? She's talking about her honeymoon night. Now listen, let me say something about dating tonight. like if you're single, and I noticed that the youth, you're in here with me tonight, and good to have you. This must be God ordained, huh? Let me tell you where I'm not trying to override your parents or anyone else. I'm not responsible for raising anyone. I'm responsible for teaching the truth of God's word. Amen? I'm not fond of dating. What I mean by that? Well, isn't it strange to date people? I mean, you date this one, then you break up, and then you date this one, and then you break up, you date this one, and then you break up, and what do you, hello? I mean, it's like you have a bunch of rogue males out there just, you know, I'm going to date this one, I'm going to date, you know. Listen, there's no place in the Bible that talks about dating. It talks about courtship. And you know what courtship is? Courtship means it's time to get married. And that person who is courting you is saying, you're going to be my wife or you're going to be my husband. Now, that we call dating when it's saying, this is the selection. I love you and I want to marry you. Now, listen. The thing that we need to remember about dating is that dating brings out the best in a person. Have you ever noticed that? Usually. Marriage brings out the rest, okay? So you have to be very careful about that. And then all of a sudden the chorus comes in. It says, the daughters of Jerusalem. And again, this is probably the ladies of the royal court here and the chorus or even the wedding guest. I'm not for sure. And no one really knows. And they say, we will run after you. And so, you know, she's probably saying, no, don't run after me, ladies. He's taken. He's mine. And now she's getting ready to start talking again, the Shulamite. She says, the king has brought me into his chambers. Or literally, it should read, it says, may the king bring me into his chambers. In other words, the bridal chambers. She's saying, I'm in love. I'm so much in love, I want to be with him. And I like this because she's talking about sexual intimacy here. She's talking about she wants to be with this man forever and love him. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18? It says, rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Not the love of someone else, but be satisfied with the one God has given you. Amen. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, the Bible says. Amen. And obtains favor of the Lord. And you know what? The bridal chamber, getting ready to go into that place, that honeymoon night. Listen, there's going to be a honeymoon for you and me. Jesus is going to come for us. Amen. He might come tonight. I can't wait. As a matter of fact, I wish he'd, when I was on my vacation, it would have been okay then. Never mind. You're not a happy lot tonight, are you? Let me see if I can look out here and see you. Listen, Jesus is on the throne, amen? He's ruling and he's reigning. We have nothing to fear at all tonight. We have nothing to worry about tonight. God is in control and we are his children, sons and daughters. And it says the daughters of Jerusalem again, and they kick in and they say, we will be glad and rejoice in you, talking about the Shulamite woman. And we will remember your love, meaning Solomon, more than wine. And the Shulamite says, rightly do they love you. In other words, all of her friends, they approve of this romance that's going on. And then she says something odd in verse 5. She says, I'm dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar. In other words, the tents were covered with the hair of goats, which were black. And it says, like the curtains of Solomon, which were dark there in his chambers. What is she doing? She says, I'm dark. I'm suntanned. I know I'm not like the women in Jerusalem. I know I don't look like the women there in the courts, your court, Solomon. She said, I know that I'm sunburned and all that, but I am a lovely person inside. I like this. I like what she's saying because she's speaking and comparing herself to the women of Solomon's court, but her conviction is so strong. And what I love about her is she realized something that today our society doesn't understand, and that she understands that beauty is only skin deep. Boy, I'll tell you, we live in a society today that is consumed. Amen? Come on. It is consumed with, you have to look a certain way. And if you don't look a certain way, and if you're not either skinny or muscular or this or that or whatever, then you're not pretty. She says, hey, I work outside. I got a terrible suntan and I'm dark and all you girls are lily white and you look beautiful, but I'm really lovely. I know who I am. And you know what? You will never, ladies, know who you are until you know who Jesus Christ is. You know, I have a saying. Sometimes people say, you know, well, Bill, I don't think very much of myself. And I said, well, that's okay.
Yeah, but but you know, I'm being put down over here, I'm being put down over there. And I'm saying, listen, if the most important person in your life is your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or wife or dad or mom or whatever, whatever they say about you is going to develop your own self-worth. You understand? But if Jesus Christ is the most important person in your life, then what He says about you is all that matters. Amen? And that's what this woman, in a sense, was saying. She says, do not look upon me. In other words, maybe they were staring at her. I don't know. Don't look upon me because I'm sunburned or dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's son were angry. In other words, they bullied me. And they made me. What did they make her do? Look, they made me be the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard I have not kept. You know, I took care of the fields. No, I don't have the latest fashion. I don't have any Botox in my face. You know what I mean? I even saw, listen, when I was on vacation here, I saw those tanning places I'm telling you about where they spray on the tans and they make muscles and ripples in your body. I wanted to go in there to watch. My wife would not let me. I said, let's go watch. I said, let's just have it done. What do you say? No. She took care of business. She didn't have the latest hairstyle. She didn't have the latest fashion, but she took care of business, but she didn't take care of herself, not the way she could have. And you know what I like about this woman? You want to date someone? Listen, let me ask y'all a question, ladies. What attracts you? Or men, what attracts you to a woman? You know what I like about her? She is a worker. She takes care of business. And there is something about a woman that takes care of business. I don't care. There's something about, women are smart. They are. They know how to handle things, most of them. All right. I'm a little rusty. I've been gone for a week, so give me some grace, okay? When I look at this, here's what I see. She has character that lasts, but sometimes beauty doesn't. You remember what the Bible says in Proverbs 31:30? It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I like that. Listen, I'm going to ask y'all a question, especially the young people that are in here tonight. How much time do you spend on your looks? I know what it's like to be a teenager, believe it or not. You know, I know what it's like to sit there in front of the mirror and comb your hair for hour, you know, and just look at you, you know, and you make all these expressions and trying to be cool. Don't tell me you don't do that. I know you do. You shut that bedroom door, you look at the mirror, you know, and you... You know, I know how it is. I've been there. I still do it, okay? So no, I just tease it. Yeah, but we spend so much time on our looks, and our society, as I said, we're consumed with looks. Matter of fact, I had lunch with someone from the church the other day, and they told me that someone told them that they saw me having a pedicure. Now, there's a lot of things I've been accused of. But like I told her, I said, no one's going to put cotton balls between my toes and paint them. You understand? No, I've never had that, and I want you to know you can look at my toes before I leave. And that's just not ever going to happen. But you know what? Thank you. But we live in a time today when men, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but you know, they go and they have their eyebrows done and a little waxing done here, and you know, there's nothing wrong with you guys looking all right. I mean, clean your fingernails and brush your teeth, okay, and use deodorant. But my gosh. And now they have makeup for men, and you know, and my son comes home, graduates from college, and he says, Dad, he says, you're just not up with it. I said, you got a business degree, and now you know everything, right? He says, no, try this right here. He says, before you shave, just put this on your face and wash your face and then shave. I said, I don't need any of that junk. I've shaved the same way for 40 some odd years. So when no one was looking and everyone had left the house, I put it on my face. I like it. Hey, I'm going to keep using it. Now, but that's about as girly as I'm going to get, okay? But my question is this. We're talking about romance. We're talking about courtship. We're talking about love. We're talking about the Word of God. The question is here, when I look at this, I ask myself a question, how much time do you spend on looks versus character?
Pastor Bill will conclude this message in tomorrow's program, and we invite you to tune in once again. We appreciate you listening with us today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.